Daddy, be careful. Don't fall off the ladder.
I'll try not to, Jimmy. I just want to get this star in place at the top of the tree.
Don't lean over too far, Daddy.
I won't, Darcy. Just a little more, and there, I've got it. Now, let me get down from this ladder.
Oh, boy, I'm glad that job is done. How does she look?
Beautiful. It's the most beautiful tree we've ever had.
Well, I'm glad you're pleased. Well, are you all set for tonight's Christmas Eve program?
Yes.
Then let's begin. Christmas Eve, 1968, the most special night of the year, especially for children. And for those of us who are no longer children, well, we have memories of other Christmases, long ago, of different loved ones who shared our excitement and joy. The lights, the music, the scent of pine and bayberry bring back pleasant recollections of other times. And in a sense, that's what Christmas is, a time for remembering. And for our children, well, we're helping to shape the memories they will have to draw on someday as they look back. Good evening. This is Dick Bertel. And with me to share this Christmas Eve with you again tonight are my 9-year-old daughter, Darcy, my 7-year-old son, Jimmy,
and our 1-year-old little baby, Susan.
Thank you, Jimmy. This first portion of our program is brought to you once again with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Well, tonight, we're going to spend Christmas in another time and strange and faraway places.
What do you mean, Daddy?
Well, Darcy, tonight we're going down to the sea in ships. As you may or may not know, Connecticut had several great shipping ports along its coastline in the days of sail, two of which were Mystic and Essex. You're going to hear of some of the unusual stories about Christmas aboard ship and about the families who waited for their loved ones to return to them so many years ago. But first, let's have some music.
Christmas song, but who's going to tell us about Christmas on the sailing ships?
Well, our first guest is McDonald Steers. For 20 years, he was variously the assistant curator, editor, head of the educational department, and secretary of the Marine Historical Association, which operates the great maritime museum known as Mystic Seaport. You remember Mystic Seaport, don't you, Jimmy?
Yes.
Well, we'll meet him in just a moment, but first, a message from Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world was all tinsel and glitter and bright shining balls? Wouldn't it be fine if everyone in the world could be as happy as children on Christmas Day? An idle dream, perhaps an impossibility, and yet surely the world could be better. Surely men can work together for the good of all. We at Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company hope your Christmas Day will be the finest in memory. But we suggest that you take a moment to hope for the future and to pray for peace on earth, goodwill to all men in the coming year. Season's greetings to all from the entire staff at Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
Thank you, Mr. Buds, and we're delighted to be able to share this Christmas Eve, as we have so many others in the past, with all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, 49 Pearl Street in Hartford.
Story begin, Daddy?
Well, Darcy, it begins back in the year 1816. Christmas Day that year had some real significance for us in Mystic, didn't it, Mr. Steers?
Yes, on Christmas Day 1816 was the day that Charles Mallory, an apprenticed sailmaker who had come from Saybrook, on his way to Boston to make his fortune. His apprenticeship had been served, and it was a warm day, and he was barefoot and carrying his shoes, not because it was so warm, but to save them for the walking to Boston. On that day, he came into Mystic, and he saw some shipping activity around. He thought it would be a chance, perhaps, to pick up a little money. As a matter of fact, he stayed here and never left. And he founded the big Mallory steamship line, which ran from New York to Texas. It had a great deal to do with the development of Texas. His descendants, Clifford Mallory, was back in the 40s president of the Marine Historical Association, and following him was Philip Mallory, who is now chairman of the board of the Mystic Seaport.
Thank you.
Daddy, was it always cold, and did they have snow on the ocean like we do here?
No. As a matter of fact, Darcy, Christmas aboard ship could occur at just about any point on the globe, as I found out.
Yes, you have to remember that on Christmas Day, a ship might be in the tropics, where the sun was so hot that the tar was bubbling up out of the seams of the deck. Or it might be whaling in the Arctic or even the Antarctic.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen what they say, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. While shepherds watch their flock by night, them see a bright new shining star. Them hear a choir sing, the music seem to come from afar. Now Joseph and his wife Mary come to Bethlehem that night. Them find no place to born she child, not a single room was in sight. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen what they say, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. By and by they find a little nook in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy was born. Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen what they say, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Daddy, what kind of men were on those old sailing ships? Where did they come from?
Well, they were a polyglot crew for the most part, an American ship. Some American ships were manned entirely by Americans. But many of the whale ships had a great many what they call Kanakas aboard, who were natives of the South Sea Islands or Polynesians or Fiji Islands or such. You remember such a person was bedfellow and roommate of Ishmael, the narrator of Moby Dick. And he was the fellow that, with his hair shaved off his head, came in late at night, and Ishmael, watching from the bed, saw him kneeling down and worshiping a little idol on the floor. That was a kind of person that might make up part of the crew, at least.
Single soul, what I'm gonna say. Christmas Eve is coming soon. Now you dear old man, whisper what you bring to me. Tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12 and I'm sound asleep, down the chimney broad and black, with your pack of green, all the stockings you will find hanging in a row. Mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know.
Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled.
Daddy, how do we know about these things that happened way back then?
Well, every ship's captain must keep a log, a sort of a notebook or diary of what happened every day the ship was at sea.
What do the logs tell us about Christmas?
Very little. For the most part, Christmas was not particularly observed. It was just a work day. And a matter of fact, the handling of the ship was all important. Depending on the weather, of course, all hands had to be at their daily work. Many captains, if they were Quakers, we'll say, as many were in whaling business, or other Christian captains, refused to have any work done on Sunday, any ship's work done on Sunday, and this probably would hold true on Christmas Day with them. But no particular celebration of any kind, unless it be a treat such as sometimes happened on a whale ship when they were cutting in a whale. After it was done, the cook might make donuts and throw them into the tripods and fry donuts for everybody. Each man could have as many as he could eat. This is not necessarily a Christmas thing, but it's if Christmas were observed like any ordinary Sunday or any celebration, why, this might as well have happened on Christmas.
old did you have to be to go on a sailing ship?
Well, perhaps we should ask how young one could be, Jimmy. There's a story of a young boy by the name of Barnard who celebrated his Christmas in a faraway land.
Well, young Barnard was only 14 years old, and at Christmas time, this was, of course, his first voyage. Christmas time, he found himself at Penang, which is on the Malay Peninsula. No particular observance was made there, but that day it was a gala day, you might say, for him, because he found a book all soaked with water and faded. He found a book in the timbers of the ship, and it was Robinson Crusoe, so he read that book. That day also, I remember his account that the mate went ashore and came back with some seeds, cardamom seeds, that are a kind of condiment. And also, he had received mail and learned that his little sister had died during his voyage, and he sat down and wrote a letter home.
Some children see him lily white, the baby Jesus born this night. Some children see him lily white, with tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and brown, the Lord of heaven to earth come down. Some children see him bronzed and brown, with dark and heavy hair.
Some children see him mild and kind, his Savior whom we kneel beside. Some children see him mild and kind, with skin of yellow hue. Some children see
Now, once again, here is Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
It's big and bright and beautiful, with a gentleness that caresses the poor, the lonely, the oppressed, and strength enough to spread calm over the whole world. It's not a toy or an ornament. You won't find this gift wrapped in a pretty package under the Christmas tree. You won't find it this Christmas at all. So the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company urges us to look to the future and hope that next Christmas will bring the most precious gift of all, peace.
Oh. A caroling, we go. Hearts filled with music and cheeks aglow. From house to house we bring the message of the King again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. We bring you season's greetings and we wish the best to you. And may our wish last the whole year through. Come join us if you will as we are singing once again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now you may have your holly and perhaps a mistletoe. Maybe a fir tree and maybe snow. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have again? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. On earth, goodwill to men. A caroling, we go. Hearts filled with music and cheeks aglow. From house to house we bring the message of the King again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill.
This first portion of our Christmas Eve program has been brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Our special guest tonight is Mr. McDonald Steers of Mystic Seaport. And we're recalling the days of old aboard sailing ships at Christmas time. I want to remind our listeners that they're tuned to WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. The next portion of tonight's program is brought to you with the compliments of the Hartford Insurance Group.
Daddy, we haven't talked with Susan yet.
I know, Jimmy. You know, Susan was only 3 months old the last time she spoke on this program. Now she's a young lady well over a year in age. But you know something? She still doesn't say very much.
Yes, she does, Daddy. All you have to do is listen.
Okay, Jim, if you say so. Hi, Susan. What's my name?
Dada.
Well, that's very good. Do you like the tree? Is it a pretty tree, Susan?
Pretty tree.
A pretty tree. Well, that's very good. Now, what do you think about Christmas, Susan? What was that all about, Jimmy?
She said she was very excited, and she said the tree was very pretty.
Ask her what she wants Santa Claus to bring her this year.
Susan, what do you want Santa Claus to bring you this year?
Papa.
She said she wanted a doll that said Mama.
Susan can't even say Mama. And she wants a doll that can say Mama?
Yes.
I guess I'll have to take your word for it. Say bye, Susan.
Bye.
Bye, honey. Well, shall we get back to our story of Christmas during the days of sailing ships?
Oh, yes.
All right. Not too far from Mystic is another seaport town in Connecticut, Essex. There I met a man named Mr. Fred Knapp. Now, Mr. Knapp not only knows all about the history of Essex, but he has a musical group made up of people from that area who do authentic songs, unusual songs, the way they would have been performed aboard ship many years ago.
What sort of a group is it, Daddy?
These men are really masters of authenticity. The name is the Essex Sailing Masters of 1812, and perhaps the first thing is to say that a sailing master isn't a captain, you know. He's a master of sail. He's a man who understands how to place the sails, how to get every last bit of mile out of every last gust of wind. He knows how to reef them. He knows how to use them in storm. He knows how to get the ship to move when there is no wind. And so these fellows really are bringing back today the old sailing masters in the days when everything that carried our commerce was sail. Fundamentally, you know, in those days, and considering these were all seafaring men, they didn't have much in the way of equipment at all. The fifes, sure, a version of a flute, But that's a primitive instrument. You can't play sharps or flats on it. And the way you get around the problem of sharps and flats is to learn to play by ear and to learn to sing the song, and then you sing it back into the flute. As to the drums, that is another story. There are drums of every type and description. Going back to the days, I suppose, when the first ancestor who sat in some forest somewhere beat a tattoo out on a log. And that's something to see when the ranks of the drummers come along with every type of drum. You know, there are drums for war. There are drums for peace. There are drums for a court. Drums have 1,000 messages. Drums are like tongues. And these boys have got them and they speak with them.
That was very pretty, Daddy.
It certainly was, Jimmy.
What sort of a shipping port was Essex, Daddy?
Well, it was a right busy one. Just full of shipbuilders, full of fine ships of sail, great captains, good crews. Ships went everywhere. They went to China. They went around the Cape of Good Hope. They went to Africa. They went to Persia. They brought back Lord Ruggs. They brought back rum and molasses. They brought back ivory, teak, silks, spices. What did they take out? Oh, well, that virgin timber of New England, wanted all over the world, the great granite from the quarries of New England. Stone, horses, surprisingly, farm products, of course. And then as small manufactories came into being, the products of Connecticut's factories were taken to the seven seas of the earth in Connecticut Bottoms.
This portion of our special Christmas program is being brought to you by the Hartford Insurance Group.
Didn't the ships try to get back home by Christmas? I'm sure they wanted to be with their families.
Indeed they did, and they had every reason, too. In the first place, you know, winter was coming. And if you were going to get home to Connecticut with January and February ahead, you were well advised to get there by December the 25th. But past that, These were all fine men of fine families. They were religious men. Consider how their fathers named them. Here are some great captains. Gideon Parker, Titus Mather, Oshma Parmalee. Men like that want to get home. And so they put on every inch of sail and they raced the ice to see that they got up that Connecticut before she froze, because the Connecticut does freeze, and in those days, you know, the winters were somewhat different. Further than that, they knew the families were waiting. They knew about Prospect Street, high to the west, where the families would gather, where the churches were, where they'd watch the river. They'd try to see all the way down as far as Long Island Sound as Seabrook, hoping and praying and waiting that their Christmas and the New Year would be made wonderful by the return of the ships. And of course, not only the captains, but the crews were local people, you see. These weren't men gathered from all over the country. These were Connecticut men. And so they had something to fight to get home to at the holidays.
Hark the
That was very pretty, Daddy.
Well, it certainly was, Jimmy. We're about to hear a most unusual carol, as a matter of fact, called Moon of Wintertime. And I asked Mr. Knapp to tell us the story of this carol.
Well, I think it goes like this. In the mid-1800s, Essex ships and Connecticut ships were engaged in the lake trade. That meant going up to the St. Lawrence, down the St. Lawrence, and into the lakes. And sometimes winter would descend on these ships, and that would be where they'd then spend the winter, on some desolate shore. Now, I can't say a lot about the detailed authenticity of the background of how this story, this song, carol, came back to Connecticut, but it goes like this. It appears that Connecticut sailors, locked in the ice for a winter, heard Huron Indians singing a Christmas carol. And on investigation, it turned out that this had been written by a Jesuit priest, St. Jean de Brebeuf, way back in the mid-1600s. He had written for the Huron Nation, a great ally of the French. And in his approach to the story of Jesus, he thought it would be easiest for the Indians if they thought of Jesus as an Indian. And so he presented the baby Jesus as clad in rabbit fur. And instead of wise men coming over the deserts, warriors came through the forests to worship. He did a remarkable job. The Moon of Wintertime, of course, is related to the fact that it was winter. It was Christmas. Of course, we know that in Bethlehem, there was no scene like there was in this frozen river where the Connecticut sailors heard the song. Well, they were so interested that they learned it. They translated it, and so it came home.
When all the birds had fled, that mighty Gitche Manitou sent angel choirs instead. Before their light the stars grew dim, and wandering hunters heard the hymn. Jesus, your King is born, Jesus is born. In excelsis gloria. Within a lodge of broken bark, the tender babe was found. A ragged robe of rabbit skin and wrapped his beauty round. But as the hunter braves drew nigh, the angel song rang loud and high. Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. The earliest moon of winter time is not so round or fair as was the ring of glory on the helpless infant there. The chiefs from far before him knelt with gifts of fox and beaver pelt. Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria.
Our thanks to the Essex Sailing Masters of 1812 and to soprano Frances O'Dell,
choir director of Our Lady of Sorrows Church in Essex. The Hartford Insurance Group is happy to bring you this program of Christmas. It is our hope that it will give you and your family a moment of enjoyment on this wonderful night. The Hartford Insurance Group would like to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas. And now, let's get back to our other guest on tonight's program, McDonald Steers, former secretary of the Marine Historical Association, which runs Mystic Seaport.
Daddy, did you tell me there was a ship called the Robin Hood?
Yes, Darcy. She was out of Mystic, and she has a most unusual story.
Well, the Robin Hood was a Mystic whale ship, and she has the distinction of having opened whaling in the Okhotsk Sea, which is off Japan. That became one of the principal whaling grounds in the heyday of whaling. But the Robin Hood ended up her days as a stone ship, if you know what that is. During the Civil War, many of the whale ships were loaded with stones and sunk in the mouths of southern rivers or harbors to keep the blockade runners, that is mostly the British, from reaching southern ports. And the Robin Hood had that unhappy end in that at Christmas Day in 1861, I think it was, she was lying on the bottom of Charleston Harbor, off Charleston Bar, laden with stones, and there she still is, I suppose.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle-ing-a-lingle, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh.
Sleigh ride with you.
What's the strangest story that ever happened on a sailing ship, Daddy?
Well, I think it was the story of two brothers who passed each other aboard ship at Cape Horn, Jimmy.
I think you're referring to the Wilbur brothers, who are mystic people, of course. And they were captains of the Dauntless and the Thomas Dana. And we won't say this happened exactly on Christmas Day, but it was during the Christmas season when it is summer off Cape Horn and winter up here. These two ships passed off Cape Horn, one going east, the other going west, and the captains spoke each other and passed the time of day and inquired about each other's voyages and their success and so forth, and passed on and never saw each other again, because by the time one had come home, the one going west had come home, back to Mystic, his brother had died. This is a rather unusual occurrence. I think it's most unusual, because I can't think that such a thing had ever happened before and is not likely to ever happen again.
Thank you.
Daddy, how best would you describe Christmas on a long ocean voyage so long ago?
Well, I think Mr. Steers did that most poetically, Darcy.
Well, I just wrote one time a little poetic thing that might describe the captain's feelings on Christmas Day and why, perhaps, he did not observe Christmas with quite so much fervor as we do ashore, because the captain's eye was upon the distant horizon, or upon a dot on his chart, which marked his objective. And on his way, the sky was his cathedral, the stars his holy candles, and the wind in the rigging made the chords for his Christmas hymn.
Tell me, did you enjoy the stories about Christmas on sailing ships that you heard tonight from Mr. McDonald Steers and Mr. Fred Knapp?
Yes.
How about wishing our radio friends a Merry Christmas, Jimmy?
Merry Christmas.
Darcy?
Merry Christmas and a very happy new year.
And now, on behalf of the Hartford Insurance Group, this is Dick Bertel wishing the very best of this holiday season to each and every one of you, from our house to your house.